listen to what they're saying about Brutalitopia.
Fuck you, Brutalitopia!
Fuck you, Joe!
This is Brett from Paul Bear. Brutalitopia fucking sucks. Don't listen to it. Seriously, turn this off right now.
This is Josh from Royal Thunder, and I don't know why the fuck you're listening to Brutalitopia, this shitty podcast.
Welcome to the Brutalitopia podcast.
Welcome, welcome everybody to the Topecast, Brutalitopia podcast number 6. This is an odd podcast because it's the first one to not feature our esteemed brother and technical assistant, Mick. I am joined today by my bearded cohort, Durf.
Welcome, Durf, everyone. Say hi. Welcome. Are you kind of getting the as a teacher, you can appreciate this. I'm kind of getting the substitute teacher vibe from this podcast. It's like, oh man, we got somebody new. We can the rules don't apply anymore.
Well, we have to corral and we have to survive, make it through the day, because I have been in said position before. I would say that it was nice enough to corral yourself, because I'm actually amazed that this podcast can happen, since that we didn't get home from that Mets game till about 2 o'clock in the morning, Eastern Standard Time or Eastern Daylight Time, and that you're back in Chicago. You sound fresh. I mean, you were a little unglued last night. You know, shirt off, taking pictures wherever.
Oh man, I tell you what, it's a good thing that you posted all those things to Facebook, because otherwise, I would have absolutely no memory of being at that Mets game last night.
It's almost like you were in Chicago the whole time, but you know.
But I couldn't be, because there were pictures of me in New York in Citi Field. So.
You were amazing with some of those poses. I mean, it was almost like you were able to pull off the exact same pose several times.
You know, I have tremendous muscle memory, Tom. Especially when I've been drinking, I can just find a pose and then just keep it for hours and days on end and recall it like nothing.
It certainly showed. So we're happy to have you happy and healthy, whether you were actually in New York or in Chicago. It doesn't really matter, because there's pictures to prove, I'm sure, both sides of that story as your globetrotting trek of the last 24, or hell, the last 12 hours.
Yeah, well, it was a hell of a time, and so I'm very happy to be here. And I'm very happy that you are able to be here as a as a father. A happy Father's Day to you, as this is when we are recording this. So it's nice of you to take some time away from the love and adoration of your family to come talk some metal.
Yeah, I mean, I would wish you a happy Father's Day, but you are not. And since it is not Mother's Day, I can't wish you anything. So we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's nice. I talked to my dad this morning, and I just told him that his present, as always, is that I am not celebrating Father's Day. So it's a win for all of us.
Well, at least you're married now. At least it's, you know, nobody's really going to be upset with that. I mean, unless you're really not supposed to reproduce, then that could be another story.
I think that's what it is. I don't think it, you know, obviously it's nicer and it seems more official when you're married, but I just think that knowing that I would be having a child and then would be responsible for the child would just, I feel like that would give a lot of people a lot of anxiety.
Yourself included?
Oh my God. Yeah, of course, myself included. But how, speaking of anxiety, how nervous do you think Mick is? Like, I just imagine Mick, who's spending the day with his family. I just imagine him like tapping his foot, looking at his watch, knowing that we're starting this right now, and just like, oh my God, I hope it goes well. I hope they record everything right.
I really feel like he's white knuckling it through that Eggs Benedict right now.
No, he's more of a biscuits and gravy guy, I think.
Okay. You know, whatever your brunch fare may be, he's probably staring at that bowl of cut up cantaloupe and honeydew.
Just slamming mimosas. He's on his third one right now. They've been sitting down for 3 minutes.
These fucking assholes are going to fuck it up. I know they are. Probably not even going to do anything.
They're going to forget to record it. They're going to talk for 2 hours and forget to record it. It's going to be nothing. It's going to be
a
nightmare.
We're going to record a podcast with a guest guy and then lose a complete audio feed. That's never happened before.
Yeah, that sounds. I'm getting a mental picture of something that's happened before, but I think we'll.
Who remembers?
I think we'll hold it together. All right. I think we're. You know. You are a father of a child, and that's going well. And I am an adult, as it says on my birth certificate. So I think we can handle talking.
I wasn't aware
computer.
That there was a box to check to mark that distinction, but
I drew one on. I just wanted to feel better.
What was the other box? Juvenile delinquent?
Yes. It was adult, juvenile delinquent, or other. And I felt like it was a test I was giving myself, so I just checked adult to be safe.
Well, if, you know, to help transition into another, if somebody we're about to talk about probably had under other was asshole, at least according to a good portion of the internet, would be Joe DuPlanche of Gojira.
Yeah, man. There's some folks not happy with those guys right now for stupid reasons, I think. But
I mean, when you name... you name your album after something from Joe versus the Volcano. I mean, I could see, first of all, why people would get upset.
That movie was so terrible, and I haven't thought about it in years.
And that's why people are worried, because of that allusion to such a terrible movie. Was Magma to be a terrible album for Gojira?
Which, I say no. I actually like it a lot. It's a different sound for them. To be sure, but I think that it is, it's still Gojira, and there's still those riffs there. There's still a lot of, it feels like they're following that proggy, more melodic side and seeing where that takes them for a little bit, which, I know you're not a huge prog guy, but Magma is also a really popular prog band from back in the day. And well, as popular as a prog band can be, that isn't Rush. Let's be real. So hearing that was going to be the title of the album, that's kind of what I started thinking, was they were going to go more in that direction, which they did. And I don't know, you've listened to the album, right?
Yes, I have.
What do you think?
Now, I like the album. It's definitely an album to widen their, or to use an internet term, embiggen their fan base.
Yes.
If you go back to how aggressive some of the albums they had earlier, I mean, I don't really have any experience prior to From Mars to Sirius, but From Mars to Sirius is very heavy. And, you know, just again, to look at a band that's followed a very similar blueprint, you look at Mastodon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, From Mars to Sirius and The Way of All Flesh can kind of be seen as like their Leviathan period for Gojira. The Enfant Sauvage was definitely more towards like the Crack the Sky, and if you want to talk about you know, like the streamline, I think maybe more like Crack the Sky, The Hunter, just the streamlining of Magma. And you know, streamlining could be a pejorative term a lot with music, especially to the people who try to hold true, you know, TR-00 to what these bands would be.
Right.
I still think they sound like who they are. You know, of course, that first single they put out ruffled a lot of feathers, and now that the album is out for all to take in, there's certainly people with very, very big opinions about it. I mean, I think overall the coverage has been good. Even some of our more opinionated metalhead friends, like our buddy Andy Sin from No Clean Singing, you know, squashed a couple of different thoughts on Facebook about what people think about the album and why they were wrong.
Yeah, and he's really impressed with it as well. Andy loves the album, it seems. And I think getting back to what you just said about how it's still Gojira, it's still their sound, you know, they've had since From Mars to Sirius, the last three albums, there's always been these shorter two and a half minute long, like instrumental interlude tracks, which are always, you know, they're lighter than the rest of the album. They're more kind of pensive and atmospheric. And so this has always been a sound that Gojira has explored. They've just never tapped into it so fully for a whole album. It's always just kind of been like a side note or a song. And I think the end result was something that's actually a lot better than some people are giving it credit for.
I just think, I mean, it's certainly not their heaviest album, but that was by design, it would appear.
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, being that both of us at different times have seen the band live, I've seen them once. I don't know if you've seen them more than once live.
I've seen them 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, it's like me with Mastodon. I mean, although I keep going into Mastodon thinking it's going to get better, it never really does.
Yeah, Gojira, Gojira has always been, I've seen them headline and I've seen them open. I've seen them 4 times. I saw them headline for two times, and then I saw them open for Slayer and open for, I think, Opeth. No, Mastodon. Sorry, it was Mastodon. And each time they opened for someone, they blew the headlining band out of the water.
Yeah, they were the second band when I saw them. It was Cavalier Attack, Gojira, and Mastodon.
Yeah. That was the same tour that I saw them on.
And yeah, they were absolutely phenomenal. I mean, Mastodon's a fun band live. They're not a great band live, but I think if you really are a fan of the band, you enjoy it more.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably why I've seen them as often as I have.
I maintain that Mastodon was, if not great, Mastodon was perfect live until they had to start adding all those vocal melodies, harmonies and whatnot that they just really don't hit well live. But I think the comparison between Mastodon and Gojira is accurate in that they changed their sound, and I really truly don't think that either of these bands, or really many metal bands that change their sound, I don't feel like they do it for, you know, to try to make money. Like, you're not gonna, just because you're a more radio friendly hard rock band doesn't mean all of a sudden you're gonna be raking in millions of dollars and better your standing financially. I think it's just what they wanted to do artistically. So, like, what are your thoughts on that? I feel like every time a band changes direction a little bit, people get very angry as though they're being betrayed.
Well, first of all, I have to go back and see something that I had written about Gojira. I think Joe DePlanche is getting a little too big for his britches. He spelled his name, Joe DePlanche with the E's as Euro signs. So I think I have to make sure he's not cashing in on that like some of the rappers do in this country. So I have to spell his name with proper E's instead of the Euro symbol, first of all. So what were you saying about not cashing in?
Well, I have no idea what you're talking about. I didn't see the Euro. I couldn't identify the Euro marker.
It's an E.
Oh. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Clean that one up for us, Mick. Thank you.
Well played. God damn, well played.
Man, I had
played.
You going, didn't I?
Yeah, I was just like, what?
It must have been me eating small pieces of your brain that were fried at Citi Field last night.
Oh my God. But yeah, so I feel like people get so upset when they're, you know, bands that they like change their sound, and it's not like you can't go back and listen to those old albums, and it's not like the band all of a sudden stops being who they are. But I mean, they've been doing that heavy progressive death metal for 10 years.
People get all upset about it. Like, you know, they could watch vintage era Jenna Jameson and then they could watch her now. It's like, yeah, it's different, but it's still the same thing, kind of, right?
I never really thought of the relationship between heavy metal and pornography like that, but you have a very good point.
So you're not a big fan of Evan Seinfeld from Biohazard?
I cannot say that I am, but that's actually a really good way to think about things. The more,
I mean,
you
it's
know.
Not like we're talking about Ron Jeremy here. I mean, that was never good, and it still is not good.
I still can't believe that he's coaching the Detroit Pistons.
Oh, no, that's Stan Van Gundy.
Oh, see, I always get them confused.
My money's on Stan Van Gundy's definitely packing something larger. He's just not talking about it. That's the only way he was able to hang on to Dwight Howard for as long as he was.
Oh, yeah. And he...
Totally a dick measuring contest.
Do you think the Orlando Magic whoever's running that team just kind of regrets the fact that, man, we held on to Dwight Howard instead of Stan Van Gundy. That was probably a dumb move.
Yeah, I think that that's fair. I mean, I couldn't tell you who the hell coaches the Magic at this point.
Oh, I have no idea.
Might as well just be Oladipo then, because at least that's a name that both of us know.
I just assume it's Grant Hill. And I don't think Grant Hill has anything to do with the Orlando Magic right now, but I just assume that he's the head coach.
Well, I mean, it's Duke-ish colors, so we'll go with that.
Yeah, and after he left the Pistons for that big contract with the Magic, and he kept breaking his ankle.
It's kind of like how Allen Houston might as well run the Knicks, because he signed a big deal and he did basically the same thing.
I would have thought that you were you would be just right there, backing your boy Jimmy Dolan. I thought that don't you New Yorkers love Jimmy?
Jim Dolan typically ends up playing at blues clubs with his guitar.
Oh my god,
he's a fucking douchebag. I mean, nobody ever talks about him with the Rangers because I don't even think he cares about the Rangers so much. But with the Knicks,
I didn't even know he owned the Rangers.
Yeah, Cablevision owns that. Thus is Jim Dolan. So when body parts aren't washing up onto his private beach, which they have, he's busy running the New York Knicks, a once proud franchise, into the ground. And pretending, you know, it's like that internet picture. This is fine. About the fire going on around behind the dog and all that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Everything is fine.
Everything will be fine.
Nothing is fucked.
So, since people are going to hear this until for a couple days, who you got tonight in the NBA Finals, Game 7?
Golden State, just because, you know, I like to see LeBron fail. I mean, I could almost root for him when he played for the Cavs the first time around, but this is just like a whole, hey, I got my championships, let me come back and help you guys. You know, it's like, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's not really an endearing story. And when you get hair plugs in the off season and don't talk about it, like LeBron did, it's pretty ridiculous. He looks about as ridiculous as my grandfather did when he got plugs.
There was definitely some
Dr. Tobias Funke looks better with hair plugs than LeBron does.
There was some Steve Carell between seasons 1 and 2 of The Office hair pluggage going on for LeBron this offseason.
I mean, his headband kept shrinking, and then it was large again.
Oh, his headband is actually down on his forehead again, where most people wear their headbands.
It looked like Friar Tuck from Robin Hood, and then he didn't.
Awesome. I also have, I think Golden State's going to take it. And then in the other big event tonight that we can project and then see if we're right or wrong, who you got in the Battle of the Bastards on Game of Thrones?
Well, considering that Jon Snow has already died, I would like to say that it would be Jon Snow because Ramsay Bolton is a vile piece of shit, but for that very reason he could win too because George R. R. Martin.
Right. That's the thing, is that it seems like obviously Jon's going to win, but you never know. And that could be some crazy shit. I know that Mick
will
plays
be crazy shit. I mean, it's called Battle of the Bastards. The episode is titled that. So
on Father's Day, which is pretty brilliant. I hope HBO planned that.
Oh yeah, that's right. I didn't make that connection quite to that Father's Day with bastards and everything. And
I saw it on Facebook, so I can't really take credit for it. But I think it's
nice hot takes, Skip Bayless.
Hey man, I'm giving credit to where I found it. I'm not pretending it's my idea.
So you want to talk about how bad Derek Jeter is? Oh, wait, sorry, you're not actually Skip Bayless. Never mind.
all right. So, yeah, so Magma's out. Go listen to it if you haven't. Make your own, form your own opinion about how it sounds and how good it is. What else is on our doc? Oh, my timer's going off. Fuck you, Joe Schaefer. So now we can... Now we can keep going and move on. What else is on?
I'm glad I was able to fill that in for you last week because I know how disappointed you would have been. Because Mick is not the, not that Mick wouldn't say it, but I don't know how high up on the priority list it was.
Yeah, I'm very glad that that the weekend that I missed that you were able to make sure that's still.
Well, I covered your hello internet
going.
Too.
You
so.
Did, and we have to we got to wait till Mick's here to moderate that, but we're gonna have to have a little brouhaha here, a little showdown in the coming weeks on a podcast to figure out who gets to own that. And I think there will be much shame for the loser and much joy for the victor. So that'll be fun.
I don't even know anybody named Victor, but I'll go with that.
I don't think I do either. It's not really a common name anymore.
No, actually it was my wife's grandfather's name, but that's about all I can remember.
Yeah, and that would be, I mean, that's probably the last time it was a popular name was way back in the... the 40s and in that era, I feel.
Yeah, he might have been the very last person ever named Victor. I mean, that might be a fact, but I could be mistaken.
There's got to be somebody named Victor still living right now that's like our age or younger. There's just got to be.
Yeah, probably living in Russia and not having a good time.
In Soviet Russia, Victor, name you.
Yeah, no. It's actually reminded me of a funny story, super side note. I had one time my uncle had hired a Russian guy to work for his landscaping company, and I had convinced my mother that his name was Zangief. We were about 5 minutes away from her actually talking to the guy, but then we couldn't keep it together.
Oh man, that's the best. Like that's
as punishment, my mother did a spinning pile driver with me into the ground. So that's a joke for Mick for when he edits this.
Well, I think that whole story was a joke for Mick when he edits this. Going from Zangief to a spinning pile driver, he's gonna be losing his mind.
Yes, I know. My mom was really good at doing those 360-degree moves with the D-pad, and then hitting punch, and then driving my head into the ground.
That's probably what Mick's doing. Mick probably
he's probably playing Street Fighter 2.
And he's playing Street Fighter 2 instead of going
or listening
to
the vinyl of the soundtrack to Street Fighter 2.
He was so excited when that
while
came
while enjoying his biscuits and gravy.
So what else is on our agenda that we have to talk about? You were saying that you had some things that we didn't discuss via the email. Some little secret topics.
Which one was that?
I don't know. You didn't tell me. You said that there were some things that you...
Oh, that was the Mets game. I didn't tell you about that before.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Then... So just because we're here, what did you think about all that shit last night?
I thought it was hilarious. Like I started... You know, my phone started blowing up with notifications, but I was actually out and about with running errands with the wife and doing this and that.
What did the wife think of that?
She thought it was really funny. She thought it was a nice throwback to when we were at MDF and
that was my impetus for it, because I said, how can I get back at this guy for one, first telling me the wrong weekend he was coming, and then two, not coming at all.
Okay, first of all, I maintain that I told you the right weekend and you misheard me. I have no defense for not coming at all. So it all evens out in terms of fault right now.
Well, I'm very happy I had Mick at the helm for those photo edits.
Yeah. I wondered it. That looked like that looked like a Mick Chellis photo edit job, which was great. And I just thought that was wonderful and hilarious. And I absolutely love putting stuff like that on Facebook and seeing parents and older
I like
relatives.
How you're, a friend of yours is like, it looks like a cardboard cutout of Durf.
Oh, that's my sister-in-law.
Oh, okay.
And it's just like, are you kidding right now? Like, come on. It's almost like if you can't identify a photoshopped image, you're probably too old for Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hear that.
But yeah, I absolutely loved it. I thought it was great. Every new one you put up, I was laughing my ass off.
I was getting text messages from my wife, how the hell are you photoshopping that? I go, one, I don't know how to use Photoshop, and two, I'm not doing it.
Three, outsourcing. I am outsourcing the...
Oh, I totally outsourced, but Mick and I planned that for about a couple of days, so...
That's wonderful.
He said that was probably the best way to get back at you.
I mean, get back makes it sound like I was doing something
just
that...
Just because, like next weekend and everything, all that shit. I had fun doing that.
Yeah, I enjoyed that quite thoroughly. Which leads me to this. Speaking of things I enjoyed quite thoroughly, there's a clip going around the internet that by now has like breached just like the metal circles. I saw it on AV Club, so now everybody's seeing it, of a talk show in the vein of a late night talk show called 2 Minutes to Late Night, and it's a heavy metal talk show. And they only
filmed at St. Vitus in Brooklyn.
Is that where they filmed it?
Yeah, if you notice in the background, that Skull and Crossbones logo is the logo for the bar.
Oh, no kidding. Well, that's awesome.
I'm actually making my way out there for the first time in July to go see the Ruins of Beverass.
Oh my god, that'll be a good show.
With our buddy Dan from Nine Circles.
Oh, nice. That'll be a whole lot of fun.
Oh, I'm sure.
But yeah, so this late night talk show-esque show, really, because it was a full pilot, and Ben Weinman from the Dillinger Escape Plan was a guest, and you know,
Jersey's own Dave Weinman. Or Ben Weinman, sorry.
Yeah, New Jersey's own, whose name you'd forget. So that's...
Damn it. I think his last name is Machine. I think his sister was the one they named the album after.
Oh, my God. But anyway, you should watch this clip, 2 minutes to late night, because it's really good. But
it's also, just for listeners, it is not 2 minutes long.
It is not 2 minutes long. It is a full, like, 22 minutes, you know, like, this could be a half-hour late night talk show. Guarsenio Hall is the host, and that was pretty great. And the way that it just kind of takes the pretty standard by now conventions of late night television, you know, the banter between the host and the band, and then the guests and the, like, the skits and the game shows and different things like that, and just caters it to, you know, the metal community. I thought it was really well done, and it was really, really fucking funny.
Yeah, there were a couple of them, like the bad Google translation or grindcore song title, and how they had just, like, you know, what was it? Give Me Your Lovin' translated into Korean and put into Google to translate back. It was like something ridiculous like that, and it came out to be particularly funny. Or Ben Wyman playing guitar for that R&B group.
That was
clearly too much for, you know, their simple beats and rhythms.
That was almost uncomfortable to watch because he was so into it. When they asked, like, you know, what groups have you played for? He's like, oh, I did the lock-in
at the church.
Oh, I thought that was pretty good. And hopefully this brings enough attention to it that this could become a thing, whether it be an online-only thing or whether some network like Fuse or, I don't know, hell, maybe MTV.
I think Fuse would ruin that. I wouldn't even bother with that nonsense.
That's a good point. Well, I still yearn for the days when there was, you know, Headbangers Ball Saturday nights on MTV2. So I'm just...
You're talking about with Matt Pinfield?
I'm talking about with Jamie Josta. That's when I really started getting into Headbangers Ball.
I was going back earlier than that, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, my first episode of Headbangers Ball, they premiered Crystal Skull from
Blood Mountain.
From Blood Mountain. Yeah. So that's when I really started watching. But I think an hour-long block of Headbangers Ball and 2 minutes to late night would be a fantastic way to spend a Saturday evening. I would never go out again.
It sounds delightful.
So Viacom just needs to hire us to make ideas. This could be our one idea. They can give us $50 million, and then they can do the show, and we'll have nothing to do with it. And I think that
it's just a show about nothing. So you could be my George Costanza to my Jerry Seinfeld, and we can make it work.
That actually is a very frighteningly apt description of our friendship right there.
Yeah.
And you are not the first person to tell me that I am the George Costanza of the group, so I'm starting to accept that.
Well, as our esteemed colleague, esteemed acquaintance, Joe Schaefer, pointed out on the last night of MDF, the resounding line to yourself, if you remember, was, oh my God, you're still here.
Yeah.
When you were in particularly bad shape, tired, and grabbed a pitcher of beer as if it was your own personal enormous mug.
Yeah, you know, sometimes things happen, and
they do. And watching you walk a zigzag up a straight sidewalk was also certainly worthwhile.
Yeah, I like that callback to you know, you guys talking about perspective. Who was zigging? Who was zagging? And now people who've been listening know it was just Durf. Of course, everybody who was listening probably knew that it was Durf, but. Yeah.
You're unhinged, man.
I'm trying to fix the door. I'm trying to grease the hinges a little bit and put that thing back on the frame.
So, I mean, as far as just for 2 minutes to late night, again, just a phenomenal title for a show, first of all. But well executed, definitely very funny, certainly in the metal community. A sense of humor in general exists. There are, again, still the people who have no sense of humor, go to Maryland Death Fest, like, type things for the wrong reasons, or at least have their priorities out of order, that probably wouldn't think that that's funny because they think of it as too serious to not have a sense of humor. But these are human beings enjoying themselves. You know, I mean, very, how often on a talk show are you going to see someone with a noose around his neck and then make reference to the fact that David Carradine left it there for them?
I forgot about that.
I was kind of wondering where the belt was.
Yeah, if nothing else, it was just kind of...
Everybody knows autoerotic asphyxiation is with a belt is for pussies. It's nooses only.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to... You're going to take that risk every time you try it, so you might as well go big or go home, right?
That's right.
Or if you have like a spiked belt, turn the spikes inward and go for it that way.
Yeah, I mean, it must be terrible to die with your, not even proverbial, your physical dick in your hand.
Yeah, I feel like that's got to be amongst the top five worst ways to find a loved one dead. Not that there's a good way to find a loved one dead, but...
maybe a more dignified way.
There's got to be infinitely more dignified ways to be found.
Well, the Man Show visited that years ago, where they're talking about like grandpa dying, and one of them was like whorehouse heart attack, and like, you know, just different ways, you know, like he went out on top type of thing.
I feel like a whorehouse heart attack is far more dignified than being found dead with a belt around your throat.
There was, I think the other one was like, you know, parachute doesn't work kind of thing. You know, like, you know, you're going to die.
Yeah, you just got to enjoy the plunge then.
So we've covered magma. We've covered 2 minutes to late night. Covered some, you know, off topic, more so just Brutalitopia things.
We have. Covered some NBA and some Game of Thrones action.
That we did. Because fuck it, it's our podcast, we can.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that mentality.
Mick, don't spill the white gravy. Okay, no, I'm just making sure he's still together at brunch.
Yeah, Mick, maybe wait till those mimosas wear off to edit this and take out all the...
Stop shaking your head. Stop it right now.
God, I really hope that... I think I'm just going to like drop in on him every night this week and be like, you editing? And just kind of sit there and watch him. Or at least set up a camera and like film him editing this, because I feel like that would be very amusing for the two of us.
Yes, I really do wonder what it was like at his place last night with all the little goings-on that I had him working on last night.
I hope that he... Because, you know, in...
He seems like he was having an absolutely wonderful time.
Oh, he loves stuff like that. And so I can only imagine like Mick trying to, you know, be involved in whatever he's doing and then also be like, okay, got to Photoshop real quick. And then going back to like dinner.
He went out to dinner in the middle of that.
Was he still Photoshopping?
No, he said he did the fried shrimp thing quick. Then he goes, I'm going out to dinner. And then I just started taking pictures of myself with space to my right so that you could put you in the pictures.
Oh, God. It's just fantastic. Like, truly a tip of the cap to you and a tip of the cap to Mick for such great teamwork.
It's the idea plus the focus to get it done. It's like I told him, it takes teamwork to make the dream work.
Yeah, and your execution was flawless. So
I learned from you, sir. I learned from your ruse.
It's all about commitment to the idea, man. Like everything
and
else.
And I think we ended it on a very high note with your head taking the place of the Atlanta Braves logo.
Which is funny because, I mean, they won last night. But
I said you had fun, yeah, so you did win.
I did win. And I also had the number next to my head was higher than the number next to the Mets logo.
That's not really saying much these days.
No, but I mean, until recently, I felt like I could have stepped in and played for the Braves. Given that they have been terrible. But that being said, we have just eclipsed the 35-minute mark, so it's probably about time to start wrapping this son of a gun up. So any last thing you want to cover over there, Tom?
Well, certainly some albums I got to get to before the end of the month, the way I have like a solid grasp on 6 months. So like the Inverloch album I still haven't heard. I still haven't heard that Cough album, although I keep meaning to go back to it. I keep changing gears. So I ended up listening to things that are more on the epic side, like Slowfag's Hard Worlder, which is amazing. And if you like Thin Lizzy, you should definitely listen to lots and lots of Slowfag because of the Celtic influence and the melodic leads, because I'm a dork like that, and I enjoy that very, very, very much. I'm trying to think of what else there was that I haven't heard. There's got to be something, but I'm drawing a blank. I got to, you know, get
you,
that nice
you
solid
do have
six
to listen
months.
To that new Koff album.
Oh, I know I do. It's sitting on my iPod for a month now.
It's pretty fantastic. I'm going to check out that Slough Egg because you were talking about that the other day.
It's not even new. I mean, that's old, but...
it doesn't even matter. You were talking about that the other day, and they're a name I've always heard, but haven't really...
Yeah, go back to the earlier stuff down at, like, when they were still the Lord Weird Slough Egg, like, Down Among the Dead Men. There's one that's like really like galactic looking on the cover. It almost looks like Rocket Raccoon from Guardians of the Galaxy on a cover.
Oh, that's even cooler.
Yeah, if you're like a metal nerd, you'd love it.
All right, yeah. So I'll check that out.
And Thin Lizzy, if you love Thin Lizzy, it's a slam dunk.
Thin Lizzy is one of those bands that it's like I never have really gone out of my way to listen to Thin Lizzy, but anytime I listen to Thin Lizzy, I think to myself, I need to listen to more Thin Lizzy.
You really do. And I have ample amounts to share with you. I think I have about 6 or 7 albums of theirs at this point.
Oh, hell yeah. Like they're just a fantastic summer band.
I'll make it easy for you with Jailbreak because of Jailbreak and The Boys Are Back in Town. But you get like Angel from the Coast and Emerald, which Mastodon has covered, and
yeah.
Cowboy Song. That's a really good gateway. I mean, a lot of people think it's their best. It's definitely one of their best, but it's very easy to listen to. And yeah, dual lead guitars for the win.
Excellent. I guess I've been listening to that Koff album a whole lot. I've actually been listening to a lot.
Have you taken a lozenge since you've been coughing a lot?
I'm gonna let that one go. It's kind of weird. I typically, you know, alternate between newer releases and then go back to some old stuff that I really like. But I've really just kind of been putting on a lot of new stuff. For the past couple of weeks, and just kind of listening to that, which has been cool. It has absolutely no bearing on this podcast, and most of the listeners aren't going to care. But I did listen to the new Red Hot Chili Peppers album, and I don't even know. There's no word to describe it other than meh. So
that was Stadium Arcadium to me. That's why I haven't cared since then.
Oh, and see, I felt like I liked Stadium, but this one was just like...
It was too long.
Oh, it was definitely too long. But so yeah, that's probably been the low light of my musical year so far, just because there was just like nothing there. But
you weren't feeling Blood Sugar crazy about the new album?
I was not. Yeah, by the way, I was not enjoying that new album at all.
Sex Magic?
And then I guess
speaking of summer bands, that's another one right there.
I think they're a great summer band.
It doesn't get any better than Blood Sugar Sex Magic. And maybe, what's the one before it?
Mother's Milk.
Yes.
Yeah. I was always more of a Californication.
Oh no, maybe
by
no,
the
I'm
way,
thinking
guy.
Of the Uplift Mofo Party Plan. That's what I was thinking.
Oh,
of.
Uplift Mofo is really, really good. The
Californication is probably next to Blood Sugar Sex Magic considered by most to be their best.
Yeah. I do want to talk real quick. I've been listening to the new Nails, which is great. I had to go out to the I had a little bit of a longer commute to work this past week, and so I would listen to Nails on my way there and my way back. And within my round trip commute, I listened to "You Will Never Be One of Us," the new Nails album, 6 times.
Wow, how long is the album? Like 15 minutes?
I think it's 17. So. It's a little lengthy for a grind album, but yeah, man.
It's no what's the band I'm thinking of now? It's no Gridlink.
Yeah, it's a little lengthier than that. The craziest part is that the last song is like 8.5 minutes, so you've got 9 songs totaling about 9 minutes, and then this 1 8.5 minute behemoth that stretches it to 17. But,
so it's like old agoraphobic nosebleed and ends with new agoraphobic nosebleed.
Yeah, that's absolutely how it goes down. I do like that new agoraphobic nosebleed EP.
That was awesome.
It's so
Arc
good.
Was so good. I'm waiting for the next one.
Yeah, I'm hoping that I would like for them to do more than festival shows. I don't think that's ever going to happen, but but that would be cool. So, well, all right, man. I think we've run the gamut. I think we've managed to, we're at 41 minutes now. I wish I knew what our longest podcast was, because if we were close, I would just keep going.
Well, again, we don't know what's getting cut out either.
Well, that's true, but I would just go to keep going just to like you said, so much of this is just for Mick's benefit.
Well, I could also tell you that I heard the baby whine about 10 minutes ago, so my time is limited.
Yeah, so you're getting ready to go, and I'm sure that the puppy has to go out soon, which is not the same thing as caring for a living human.
Although,
child.
You know, my bosses seem to think sometimes that, oh, animals are higher functioning because they don't have speech. I'm like, but they lick their asshole and eat their own shit. So, yeah,
who wins? Oh my God.
I've never actually said that. I've thought that very many times.
I think next time you should just say it. Just go on record.
You know, when I get upset, you know, I take a piss on a stack of magazines like my cat, because that's how I roll. That's where she learned it from.
It's good that you've been able to train a cat, though. I hear that's pretty hard.
Yeah, I haven't really done much training more so than just existing next to.
All right, and
I threw her outside at 3 o'clock in the morning because she's bitching, and I picked her up because I was mad at her, and then she kind of kicked me in my bare chest, which scratched me. So that was fun.
That's really weird. That was your cat?
Yeah,
I had the exact same interaction with my wife last night.
Did she dragon kick you like Liu Kang?
Oh, it was rough. There's still bruises.
Well, I mean, it was a Saturday night, so I certainly hope you had fun.
It was a pretty good time. So, all right, on that note, we're going to let Tom go. He can enjoy the rest of his Father's Day, and I'm going to go and enjoy the rest of my not Father's Day.
Dog Father's Day.
Dog Father's Day.
Don't shortchange yourself, sir.
Yeah, you know. So this has been Durf and Tom. And this has been Brutalitopia Podcast 6. We'll see you next week with hopefully a little more guidance from our buddy Mick to keep us on the rails.
Don't shake your head too hard, buddy.
All right. Bye, everybody.